We're going to begin our time by reading first four verses of Colossians, chapter 3, verse number 1. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Baptism. Baptism is a big deal. There is a reason we talk about it so much in our church. It's significant. Jesus was baptized, and he told his apostles to go out and teach people and baptize them. The first members of the church were baptized in mass numbers. At critical junctures in the growth of the early church, the writer of the book of Acts would comment on the growth of the church by announcing baptisms. Acts chapter 8. And verse number 12, talking about the mission to the Samaritans, it says, but when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Talking about the Apostle Paul, who's the writer of this letter to the Colossians. His baptism was announced in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 18, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight, speaking of Paul, his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. Cornelius was the first Gentile convert, the first non-Jewish convert to Christianity. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 48, after the Holy Spirit had fell upon their house, the text says, so he ordered them, talking about Peter ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. When Paul was on his missionary journeys, he traveled to several places. He even got to Europe, and he's in this city called Philippi. He was in jail, and in jail, there's this miraculous thing that took place, and Paul and Silas, they were released from prison miraculously, and they taught the jailer who had been in charge of them. Acts chapter 16, verse number 33, it says, at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he, talking about the jailer, and his entire family were baptized without delay. And then Paul would go into several other cities, and one of the major cities that he would go to is a city called Corinth. That's where we get the letter to the Corinthians. And while he's there at Corinth, Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8, it says, Crispus, the official of the synagogue, became a believer in the Lord together with all his household, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul became believers and were baptized. When we began this series a few weeks ago, I highlighted the seven baptisms that took place at church camp this year. There were seven teenagers who were baptized. And as we speak, there are men and women and children who are having very important conversations about baptism. I would give anything to see more men and women and children commit their lives to Jesus and agree to be baptized. At the same time, it is incumbent upon the people of faith, the church, to exhaust our resources in sharing the powerful and life-changing implications that come alongside baptism. That we believe is what that's what we believe the Apostle Paul is attempting to do in the letter to the Colossians. He is writing a letter to folks who have already been baptized, and he's teaching them and sharing with them the implication, the overarching implications of being a baptized believer in Jesus. So as we continue to read through the letter of Colossians. We focus in on chapter 3, where we believe Paul is really turning to the Christians at Colossae to tell them about their life as baptized Christians. We come to a portion in this letter where Paul unleashes a beautiful yet poignant explanation and description of life of a baptized believer. And the author of this beloved letter wants the recipients to embark on a life that is best described as hidden. Hidden. Since you are raised with Christ, your lives are now hidden in Christ. Let's continue to read chapter 3, starting at verse number 5. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living in that life. But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and clothe yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. Focus back in on Colossians 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, these are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things. The implications of living life after baptism includes two significant actions. If you're a note taker, number one is saying goodbye to the old woman or the old man, saying goodbye to the old self. When we are raised, we are no longer what we used to be, no longer slaves to sin, no longer slaves to fear or slaves to hopelessness. That was the old man. That was the old woman. That was the old self. When we are raised, our actions are no longer driven by what used to drive us. When we are raised, it's cleaning time. Someone put on Facebook, what song do you play when you're cleaning the house? I listen to a lot of old time gospel music, and one of the groups I like listening to is a group called the Canton Spirituals. How many people know the Canton Spirituals? The Canton Spirituals, an African American gospel group, and one of their hits was a song called "Clean Up." And the lyrics are like, I gotta clean up what I messed up. I'm starting my life all over again. And it's a song that's talking about since becoming a Christian, since we are raised with Christ, it's time for us to clean up some things in our lives. We've messed up a lot, and we continue to mess some things up. But living a life raised with Christ, post-baptism, that is a time for us to say goodbye to the old self. Say goodbye to the old man. Say goodbye to the old woman and clean some things up. That means we need to get rid of sexual sin. We need to get rid of evil desires. We need to get rid of greed. We need to get rid of anger and wrath and malice. That means vengeance and revenge. We need to get rid of abusive language and slander and lying. We need to watch our mouths. Cleaning up is a function of saying goodbye to the old self, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. If we've been raised with Christ, if our lives are hidden in Christ, we need to get rid of the old self. That's the first action, saying goodbye to the old woman and the old man. The second action is that we undertake this idea that we have a new identity. It's not just about getting rid of old self, old woman, old man. It's saying, I am now something new. I have a new identity. Colossians 3:10, and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In the Latin, image of the creator, image of God, is rendered a phrase called imago Dei, the image of God. It's a phrase that means so much, and packed in it is this idea that we have been created in God's image. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, where God says, let us make humans in our image, in the image of God. God made them. We have been made in the image of God. We've been created to be God-like. We've been created to do some God things. He gave us the job and the role to take care of the earth. We've been invited to be co-creators with God, not to take God's place, but to walk alongside him and to be like him, made in his image. And sin has come in and corrupted idea. And ever since the beginning, ever since the first sin, sin has been trying to rob us of being the bearers of the image of God. But in Jesus, God's image is being renewed in humans. This is our new identity. It is hidden in Christ Jesus, who is our life. He is our identity. He is our all in all. Now, while we may have different attributes and characteristic markers, you know, I'm black or she's white and tall and Irish and Nigerian. By the way, I did my DNA test. I'm part Irish. We may have all of these markers. We may have all of these identity characteristics. You ever hear some folks say, you don't want to mess with me. You don't know where I'm from. I'm from, you know, enter in city. I'm from Cleveland. I'm from New York City. I'm from Buffalo. That may be fine. That's part of your characteristics and your personality. But our identity is all wrapped up into a new identity. I'm talking about baptized folks here. Our new identity is Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who we are. When we describe ourselves, that ought to be first. Not where I'm from, not what color I am, not what team I root for. Hey, describe yourself. I am Christ. I'm a little Christ. I'm a Christian. That's my first identity marker. When you look at the ingredients on a package of something, the first ingredient is that which is the most prominent in that product. If you get a product and the first thing it says is salt, if you have high blood pressure, stay away from that. But when we talk about the ingredients of our new self, the first ingredient ought to be Jesus Christ. Are you with me, church? The new embraced identity is Christ. We are hidden in Christ, or clothed in Christ. Now, this is not to suggest that Jesus is just some clothing item like Tommy Hilfiger or Prada. This idea of putting on or being clothed or being hidden is used multiple times in Paul's letters. This is a metaphor that he keeps going back to. Talking to the church in Rome, Paul wrote, instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on Christ. He wrote this to the Galatian churches in Galatians 3:27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves in Christ, with Christ. He wrote this to the Ephesian church, another letter written from prison. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22, you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So what does it look like? What does it look like to clothe yourself in Jesus? What does it look like to be hidden in Jesus? What impact does being hidden in Christ have on the world? Meet Sokum Hun. Sokhum is from Cambodia. As a young man in the 70s, he lived under the oppressive and murderous rule of Pol Pot. Go Google that name if you're not familiar. Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge regime, they were the ruling party that committed atrocities that are simply sickening. There's a movie that came out in the mid-80s called The Killing Fields. Anyone seen that film? It's nominated for several awards. I think it won for Best Supporting Actor. But if you want to familiarize yourself with the story, go watch that film. But I warn you, it's gory. It's gruesome. There's no other way to retell a story that resulted in over 3 million people being brutally murdered. Not just murdered, but brutally murdered and slaughtered. A retelling of this brutal period of history brought out the story of Sokhum from Cambodia. Sokhum was enlisted to fight with some of the rebels that were fighting the Khmer Rouge, and he was arrested, and he was sentenced to death, but he survived that sentence. But he then underwent horror that I can't explain. I want to show you a clip that he put together as a part of an organization. I will warn you that some brief images are very gruesome, but there's no other way to tell his story, to be honest and upfront about what he went through. Here is Sokhum retelling his story.
Sokhum Hun.
My dad and my mom and sister and brother come through the same time. But the screen, I see how who work with the colonial government that forced him out from the power. So they put me to one spot. Then they asked the question. And then I say, I'm just a student. I'm a young man. One of my co-worker, they come to know, you've been served as a commando with American. Then they just get mad, scream at me, and get a rope tied my arm back. Then they kick me in the pit. But somehow, another man walked in. He said, must be in charge. And say, pull that young man back. Then pull me back and say, don't kill him. Just in the rice field.
Sokhum's life was spared, but 16 members of his family were killed.
At that time, I am in prison. I did not know much at all, and I do not see it. But my cousin told me they take my brother, my sister-in-law, and two, one's knee, one's nephew, as 5 and 4 years old. They told me, say, they take him and torture the whole family. Next day, one of the guard, bring the clothes to me and they say, you got to use it, this is your brother's clothes. And I cannot deny, I cannot say no, I got to use it. And he say, remember, if you do anything fully, you couldn't be the same your brother.
Sokhum was in prison for 2 years, working in the rice fields by day and shackled in ankle irons by night.
I got all kinds of disease, malaria, diarrhea, and starving. I eat grass to survive. This pond here, I mean, execution pond, when the prisoner talk back or do something against it with the Angka, they call Angka, the government is, you know, sometimes they not clear right away. They as a prisoner come and stay watching, and they just do it and cut the hand and throat, so make the prisoner cannot escape to scare to stay in the place. And this the most, for me, it's a bad place.
Again, forgive me for the graphic nature of that retelling, but I want us to hear and see real pain and struggle of a real life person who endured the horror of this brutal regime. To recap, he lost 16 members of his family that were tortured and murdered. He endured unbearable treatment as a prisoner, working in the rice fields from sunup to sundown, and after he was done working, chained in a prison. That was the bad news. The good news is that in 1979, the Khmer Rouge regime was overthrown, and the Cambodian people were freed from terror. However, the residual impact was still present, and Sokum and his wife, they escaped, and they were able to make it here to the United States. So the good news is no more Khmer Rouge, but the greater news is that many, including Sokum and his wife, they became Christians. They connected with a Church of Christ in Dallas area. They were baptized and became Christians. In a lecture that I watched of Sokum describing his ordeal, he spoke of life after the overthrow of the government. He talked about struggling with poverty and finding, you know, struggling to find work and find food. And one of the things that he mentioned is before he came to America and before he got totally exposed to Christians, one of the things he remarked is that when he was struggling, the one religious group that reached out and helped, because there were several religious groups, many in Cambodia were Buddhists, there were Muslims, there were Hindus, but the one organization, the one group that helped with food and with medicine and that gave some hope were the Jesus followers. It's Christians. And he says when he came to America, he never forgot that. He never forgot that it was the Christians, the Jesus people, the baptized people that were doing the help. And so Sokum eventually received the gospel of Jesus. He was baptized. He became a Christian. And now I want you to listen to what happened next.
In 1979, the Khmer Rouge was overturned. Sokum and his wife escaped to Dallas, having to leave their one-and-a-half-year-old daughter with her grandparents in Cambodia. He became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. 25 years later, he would return to the people who had tortured and executed his family members with the good news that had changed his life. His sisters had survived the massive massacres. Listen to her plea to the remaining men in the family.
In 2005, I come back to Cambodia, take my children, my family to come to visit my family here. That time I brought some rice, medicine, and mosquito net, go to my hometown near to Vietnam border. My older sister, that older than the one they killed, she says, come, remember, you only the man in the family, all the men in the family. You need to take care of family. She say, you need to pay back. I say, no, sister. Not succumbed before. I am changed. God changed my heart. I cannot do it. Because.
All right. I want to stop there because I want y'all to take note of something. Sokum's sister said that you're the only remaining male survivor. You're bound by your duty to your family to get revenge. There are people still surviving that are here that murdered our family. You need to go. You need to take care of them. See, that's part of our identity marker. You don't know where I'm from. You don't know who I am. You do something to my family, I'm going to do something to your whole family. But look at how he responded. Now, I watched this video first about 10 years ago, and these words have never left my heart, left my mind, because of how powerful it was. He said, no, get this, I'm not so come before. You can speak good English, bad English. I understand that. I'm not so come before I am changed. Allow me to paraphrase for my friend here. He said, I am hidden in Christ. I can't do what I would have done before Christ. I'm different. God is doing something different in me. I'm not so come before. See, this is the implication. This is what it means to be baptized into Jesus Christ and to be raised with him and to be hidden. Let's listen to the conclusion.
Hey, Mark. I said, no, sister. Not so come before. I am changed. God changed my heart. I cannot do it. Because 3 million and half people have been died when I hear the gospel. And I feel ashamed myself. I hide myself in the U.S. for 29 years. I can see that God been spared my life for the purpose of God why I'm come back to Cambodia.
And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Join in the sending of the good news to Cambodia by the beautiful feet of Sukhom Hun, God's messenger.
I'll have Perry Brown create a link to this website where you can get the whole more story about what Sukhom Hun is doing in Cambodia. But here's a guy who went from, they call it, the killing fields to the mission fields because of Jesus. Of all the prisoners that he was with, one of the few who was spared, who lived to tell the story of his horror, and who is now back sharing the gospel of Jesus. In another lecture, Sukhom tells the story of being in the village where his family was murdered, and he saw a guy who helped kill his family. Saw him face to face. And the guy who killed his family recognized him. And knowing that it's part of your family heritage that you take vengeance on those who kill your family, the guy who killed his family started running. Sukhom yelled at him, said, stop, stop. I'm not here to get revenge. He says, I have mosquito nets and medicine and the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're asking what it means to be hidden in Christ, Sukhom Hun. Here's a picture of Sukhom and a guy who was a soldier in the Khmer Rouge government. They fought each other. But now they're both Christians, both baptized believers. And they no longer fight each other, but they walk with one another, serving one another in the name of Jesus. So church, let me remind you. Let me read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, this time from the Message version. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. And when Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Our confession at baptism is a confession of purposeful action marked by being changed by God in Jesus. Our change is such that when others observe, they see a stark difference from before. You see, we're hidden, and so they see Jesus. So then, excuse me. So then, let us set our heart on things above where Christ is. Let us seek to fix our minds on things above where Christ is. For some of us, let us renew our baptismal vow to be hidden in Christ as we have been raised with Him. For some of us, let us make a confession that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, and let us fulfill all righteousness by being baptized so that we may be raised with Christ to be hidden in Him. That's the invitation today. Say goodbye to the old woman, man. And say hello to the new identity. That identity is hidden in Christ. Thus we sing, Christ above me, Christ within me, Christ beside me, Christ behind me. That Christ is our all in all. As we sing this next song, if you need to renew your baptismal vow because you've quite frankly, quite honestly, you've just forgotten it. You've responded to people who hurt you in ways that you would have responded before Christ. And you've just done that way too often. And today, you know what? You say, I want to renew my baptismal vow because, you know what? That was my old self. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. My life is hidden in Christ. And I want the Church of Christ to pray for me that I reclaim my identity as a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been raised with Him, and so I'm different. Or if today is a day that you say, I want to make that confession for the first time, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, I want to make a commitment to be raised with Him, knowing that I'm raised with Him. I want to make a commitment to know that I am hidden in Him. I'm going to rid myself of what the old self used to do, and I'm going to walk in newness of life. Because that's what it means to be a baptized believer. As we're singing this song, there's a way the church can be helpful to you. If you need prayer, just come forward. We'll pray for you. If you need to be baptized, just come forward. We'll baptize you. If you need to recommit, you come forward. You recommit. But don't leave this place without saying goodbye to old self and say hello to new identity. Let's stand. Let's sing.